Hey, what up, what up, what up?
Radio.
For week 16, Mr. Cleveland, we had some big games going on this past weekend. The Rams traveled to Seattle. The Steelers invited the Super Bowl champions into town on a rainy Sunday night, and they got robbed. That is plain and simple. They got robbed. There's no way nobody can convince me. A knee is, we know a knee is equal to 2 feet. We know an elbow down signifies the player is down. And then when you cross the goal line, the ball breaks the plane of the goal line, the whole play is over at that point. That was a catch. The Steelers got robbed. Did you see it that way?
Kim, I definitely did. I mean, I know there's been a lot of back and forth about how the last play went down, but going into review, I thought that they were reviewing whether his knee was down before he crossed the plane. But once he crossed the plane, I mean, I think he just crossed the plane. That was my understanding of the rule. I mean, the ball, I mean, maybe adjusted a little bit. And, you know, I've been hearing that, you know, Dez Bryant thought it was kind of comical because he thought he had pretty much done the same thing in Green Bay 3 years ago and didn't quite turn out the way that he would have liked. But, man, yeah, it was awful. It's hard to recover and then go to the next play when you think you've, you know, scored and take the lead, and then you just, you know, got a hold of it for 26 seconds. So, yeah, it was rough for Pittsburgh's Steelers fans, for sure.
It had to be rough. And, you know, Big Ben, as soon as something happens, he starts throwing people under the bus. So, you notice, you know, when he gets on the mic, he starts tossing people under the bus. You know, there were some real problems that went on in Pittsburgh. New England Patriots, man, they are the luckiest team of the past two decades. They get every break, it seems like, and they equal big wins. They just keep equaling big wins on each and every break that they get. But the Steelers should have been better than that. Unfortunately, they had the MVP candidate Antonio Brown go down in the second quarter. So that hindered their production a little bit. But your boy, Martavius Bryant and Juju Smith. I think Juju Smith got to get in the end zone. Aren't you known for speed there, big fella? You got to get in the end zone and not get tackled at the 10 or 11 yard line. He clearly ran out of gas, but come on, Juju. Aren't you known for speed? What's your thoughts on Juju? And then Antonio Brown with the unfortunate injury.
Well, you know, Juju, like you're saying, that is, but he is, you know, his calling card, so to speak, is having enough breakaway speed to get to the end zone. And, you know, he's been a little bit of an anomaly this season. So, you know, I'll give him a little bit of a pass. It is his rookie year, and, you know, he's kind of taken a very prominent role in the Steelers offense. You already know what I think about Martavis, although I do think he is a little bit of a risk going into free agency, having just come off a year of suspension. Next time it's going to be two. So, if that happens, I mean, you know, certain cities on the West Coast might not be the best environment for him as far as, you know, trying to, you know, say him that, you know, if they play in a narrow path, not any season specific. As far as the Antonio Brown thing, yeah, that's rough. That's big. That's huge. I think that the fact that I do think the Steelers will get at least a number two seed, so they will get the bye. So I think it will depend. I'm hoping that they don't try and rush him back into the fold just to try and get that number two seed. I think that they're okay anyway as it goes, but I think that the two seed is probably, you know, definitely within their grasp, and if they're able to get that, then the Antonio Brown injury can, you know, give yourself, you know, 3 to 4 weeks to heal on that one, and they'll be okay.
Yeah, well, fortunately for them, they do have they play the Texans. They should easily win that game, or they should win that game pretty convincingly, as they are a 10-point favorite in that game coming up this week. But, yes, Antonio Brown, unfortunate as it was, they say with he doesn't need surgery, though, and, like, as you mentioned, he can take a few weeks off. But then one more, going back to the Patsies, one more, this Patsies that essentially cements a home field advantage, and they will not have to leave New England for the remainder of the season, provided they do finish the season off with a home field advantage. And that's just a disservice to every other AFC contender in the league. And that means Pittsburgh, if they get the number 2 seed, will be the favorite to go to New England, and we'll see it all over again. And can Big Ben finish it off? And Martavius Bryant make a couple more big plays? And we'll see how that transpires. But there was a big game in the Northwest with a team from Los Angeles traveled up there with their young quarterback, third-year running back, youngest coach in the league, and they put the smackdown on the Seattle Seahawks. They put the smackdown on them. It was, what was it, 34-0 at halftime? Russell's running around, and the guy stayed in their lane, and we already know that they cannot block Aaron Donald. They just got to him. Robert Quinn did his thing. That defense showed their persistence from a few years ago, and just really got after the Seattle Seahawks, so much so that there's bickering in the locker room now of players talking about each other and suggesting that they shouldn't even be finishing games off now. What's the talk with Pete Carroll? What kind of excuses and double talk has he given this week? Russell Wilson, I already know he's working hard at it again. He's going to try to come back this week and be stronger. I'm sure that he said those exact words in his press conference. But I said this about maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago. Maybe I was a little premature, but from what I've seen back then, so what we see now, I actually, once again, is a Legion of Boom. Have you seen the last of the Legion of Boom? And I'll give you the mic, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for the mic, Cam. And, you know, as far as the temperature up here in the 206, I think it is definitely, I guess, the word I would use is sobering. In the Pete Carroll era, no one has ever come up here and just completely embarrassed and annihilated the Seattle Seahawks in the manner that the Los Angeles Rams did, giving credit for what they were able to do. You know, like Coach Tomlin says, no excuses, no explanations. Don't want to hear what happened. What happened happened, and happened in a very embarrassing fashion. So as far as that is concerned, of course, when you're in this situation, you're in the NFL, the thing that you're looking at is, you know, how do we get better? What are we doing to turn the page here? And so then, you know, a lot of players get fingers pointed at them. A lot of, you know, different scenarios as far as what's going to happen in the future become, you know, much more prevalent. You're talking about the Legion of Boom. I have not seen Byron Maxwell be Richard Sherman's equal. I have not seen Riley McDougal. He covers a little bit better, with tight ends and, you know, backs out of the backfield, but I haven't seen him be that physical presence or that leader in the locker room. So those two players are still under contract. We will see what happens. We will see how their rehabilitation in the offseason goes. So I think that's the first thing you have to talk about when you're referring to the Legion of Boom. Secondly, as far as the, you know, discontent and malcontent in the locker room, I think it's a little bit crazy that Bobby Wagner is coming back at Earl Thomas for, you know, comments that he made regarding whether he should or should not have been playing in that game. He certainly didn't look himself from what I could see, and I think that's really all that Earl Thomas was saying. And I think that as far as, you know, kind of stature and reputation within the locker room, I think Earl Thomas has definitely earned and deserved the right to say that if that was his observation on the field. I think Bobby Wagner was being a little bit sensitive with regard to his coming back and his comments about, you know, keep my name out your mouth and, you know, hopefully you're not jealous and you're talking to somebody that's probably going to put on a gold jacket here in about 6 or 7 years. He's made the Pro Bowl six of the 7 years. Yeah, the 6 of the 7 years that he's been in the league. I mean, I don't think you can name two other free safeties better than Earl Thomas. I don't really think you can name any, but I'm just, you know, just for the sake of argument, saying two or three. So,
that was
go ahead.
That was pretty wild of Bobby Wags, and he's kind of feeling himself a little bit, knowing that he needed to step up, and, you know, he probably didn't play his best. And he was, as you mentioned, a little sensitive when he was called out by one of his fellow teammates. There's been some talk, you know, I'm miles away from the area, but there's been some talk here nationally. Has Pete Carroll run his course in the city of Seattle? Has anybody talked about that?
You know, I've always talked to my dad about it from the minute that we hired Pete Carroll. And I even talked with you about it and how we kind of came to the conclusion that the way that he was able to build this team was very Jimmy Johnson-esque. However, the difference is that we had predicted that he would build it on SC talent the way Jimmy built it on Hurricane talent. But really what he did is that he took his knowledge of the players that he had been trying to recruit, even if they didn't go to SC, that's where he was his most successful, is that players that he kind of already knew about that didn't go to SC, but they went somewhere else. And he's like, I sat in your living room. Your cast name is Fluffy. So he had that kind of finger on the pulse of college football for so long that he was able to build the team really young, really good, really fast. But then you become the victim of your own success, because now all of a sudden these players are 27, 28, 29. He has to make these huge decisions about whether they're worth it financially, whether how long can they maintain. When they first did it, it was just easier to do. I mean, you get a franchise quarterback in the third round, and you'll stick it back.
Well, yeah, they were young. And that's when that's what the deal is. They were young. They didn't have to pay a lot of money. There were the young guys that you say coming out of college he had some familiarity with, and he had to compete, you know, competition Wednesday, competition Thursdays. Everybody wants to compete. And that's a good point you bring up, where he probably lost a little track of the college game, being in the NFL now for, what, 9 years? Nine years?
Right.
Where he kind of lost his little track of those guys because he hasn't been recruiting them, per se, as you mentioned. And it's probably kind of hurt the team. But my thing is he's – even when he was here at SC, you know, he saw the writing on the wall. He saw the sanctions coming down around the corner, and he bolted. So it might be a sign of Seattle kind of running the course, and the players, and he's got enough. He's gotten so much out of the young players that he brought up that he may not see a future in continue to recruit, draft, and
well, see,
train
and,
up.
And this is exactly the frustrating, irritating part for the 12th, is that when you get to the 8-6, these are the questions that you have to ask and you have to answer. There are many games. I mean, they could easily be 10-4. They could easily be 7-7. So, I mean, you know, you feel that, but at the same time, it's like that's why after a loss like that, you don't listen to sports talk radio. You don't really watch ESPN. It's like you just don't really, like, because there's just so – now all of a sudden all the conspiracy theories come out and, never were that good. is very reasonable, and you know you have to answer those questions, and you get blown out 42-7. But when would you rather have it been a 24-21 game, and Blair Walsh missed a field goal? No, you'd rather get blown out if you're going to lose.
Well, that's true. But that's true. But I see a pattern. There's no doubt. There's a pattern evident. So the you're right. A blowout is a little better than a heartbreaking loss. But tell me this: has the Seattle Seahawks got over that loss to New England in Super Bowl 49? Does that come up anymore? I know last year. It came up early in the season, and we didn't hear much about it after Richard Sherman brought it up early in the season, and we didn't hear much about it afterwards. And throughout this year, there has been no talk, but team got over that loss in the Super Bowl, where that's a franchise-changing play that happened, and that was a franchise-changing loss that happened. Has the team got over that? What are your thoughts? Is there any more talk about that?
There's no more talk about it because I think people, you know, the 12 realize how sensitive a topic that is. Do I think that the participants that were in that Super Bowl have ever gotten over it? No. I think that they felt like they were on the precipice of history. And certainly, if you take out a team like the New England Patriots, it just means that much more. It's not the same as beating the Carolina Panthers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it's huge, and it would have been back to back, and it was just a lot of things going on to not win that game. Not necessarily not win that game, but lose it in the manner that they lost it. No, I don't think they've ever gotten over it. So they have,
interesting.
Of course.
I don't either, and we'll see how they regroup because there's still going to be a critical offseason for them because they have to fill some holes. They have to get some offensive linemen. They have to get some wide receivers for Russell to throw to, and they have to decide on a running back, and as well as fill some of the voids that they may have from the injuries and depending on whether these guys come back or not. So they got a lot of holes to fill, and we'll see if they're able to bounce back. But let me ask you a question. Who do you believe in more, the Carolina Panthers, who I know you don't believe in much, or the Minnesota Vikings? Who do you have more confidence in going deep into the playoffs?
I have more confidence, as you just mentioned, in the Minnesota Vikings. It may sound peculiar, given that Carolina Panthers have Cam Newton, and when he's on his game, he's, you know, an NFL MVP. They have Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield. They have a solid defense with star Luke Lele and, you know, Mr. Kuechly over there, Luke Kuechly, you know, cleaning up whatever doesn't happen on the other side. So, and as we spoke about last week, they have an uncanny ability to bleed the clock like no other football team I've ever seen. So those things, if they have a lead, they're front runners, they're awesome. I just think that Case Keenum has really embraced the role of whatever it is that, you know, is going to happen in the future. If you guys want to go with Teddy Bridgewater, if you guys want to go with Sam Bradford, I don't see either one of those guys that play the full season, but, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I'm just going to get in here and do the best that I can. And, yeah, you give me enough weapons on offense, and that defense is really stout. And, you know, you have the TC.
Yeah, they're
so
really surprised.
I think that they filled themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you in that position. It's interesting, though, how you bring up Christian McCaffrey. That's the first person you call out on the Carolina Panthers when you were not a fan of his coming out the league, but that's pretty interesting, or coming out of college, I should say. I have Minnesota at number 3 in my supremacy rankings. I see you have them at number 5. So Case Keenum is doing his thing. and he was the backup quarterback, and you're right, he's taking advantage. He's definitely taking advantage of the opportunities in front of him and is planning on earning some big money this offseason. I don't know how many teams are going to be lining up to get him, but he's putting himself in a position where he can throw records, he can throw performance, he can throw stats at him and say what he deserves and what he earns. Similar to Jimmy G.
Okay, and just really into your next subject, just to reiterate on the Christian McCaffrey, I believe the comparison was between Christian and Reg coming out, and I still feel the same way that I did. However, I am in the PPR league, and I like the way that Carolina runs their offense, running Christian McCaffrey and throwing a lot of screens, in which case every once in a while he gets free for a touchdown, might even rush for a touchdown, which is why I'm in the one of my fantasy football championships right now. So it's not to give Christian too much credit. It's just to say that it gives him good balance with regards to their offense, and they use him effectively. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, you saw something because you picked him up. So good work out of you. Good work out of you. But Jimmy G is on going for his fourth straight victory this week coming up. But they're able to eke out a victory last week against the Tennessee Titans, who probably coughed that one up. Made a mistake. San Francisco did win that game, correct? Yeah, Jimmy G didn't lose. I got an extra point.
He did win that game, but he did lose the game against the Seahawks a few weeks ago, which is the game that he came in through a touchdown, which is great. So he wasn't able to win that game, but since then he's been on the roll.
Okay, but nonetheless, he's done a good job in earning himself some money this offseason. And he's performing well. I don't think young Shanahan is going to be looking for another quarterback this offseason. And what did you think about the Dolphins getting smacked around by the Bills? You predicted that. I had faith in my Dolphins kind of pulling out a W, but apparently they weren't ready for Buffalo. They had to travel to Buffalo and they got the snot kicked out of them. I think Jay Cutler, we've seen enough of him. Hopefully, this is just a couple more games and he's done, and we don't have to see any more of him. So this week it looks like we tied. Actually, there's a correction that needs to be made on the script. I don't know if you caught it or not. I had Tennessee winning on the script, but it's actually San Francisco winning. So I'm gonna make that change for you. And then we tied 14-all, and you're still in the lead when it comes to overall pick somehow. And I'm sure the season, though we have a couple weeks left, I'm sure the season's not going to finish that way.
How does Sam Ross team pick for it?
We're tied 2-2.
I mean overall for the season. I mean, it's only two weeks left. I mean, overall for the season, how's it look?
Oh well, we'll talk about that when the season's over. How about that,
okay.
Your partner?
Okay. Cool. That's fine.
Yeah, 62% to 51%. Yeah, good work out of you, partner. Good work out of you,
okay.
Guys.
Okay.
That's
okay.
That's actually good work out of you. So with that correction, you actually went up 15-14 on the week. You had one game incorrect, which was the Denver versus Indianapolis game. So good work out of you. Picks against the picks against the spread. Our confidence picks. My Dolphins let me down. Other than that, everything else was right. 14-15, you're trying to make some hay. But 75% of my confidence picks was correct to your 60%.
Okay.
Just had to correct that there. Now back to the script. So, we got some tight matchups coming up. But you had 100% correct in your confidence picks this week, so good work out of you. The good win,
thanks,
bad
man.
Loss. I had the Rams as a good win, travel on the road into the cold, that was definitely a good win. And I was just, I couldn't help but think about Sammy Watkins. We didn't see much of him, on the field performing, you know, based on what we talked about a couple weeks ago. And what he told me, if it's not no sun out there, he's going to have problems. And then I had a bad loss for the Steelers. I also had a good win from Nick Foles and the Eagles, even though it was against the Giants. They had to come from behind, tested their mettle, showed that Foles can lead that team back to a victory. That was a good work out of him. And then I had it as a bad loss for the Seahawks, getting slobber knocked by the Rams as they came into town. And it was the Chiefs was able to pull out a good win over the Chargers, both of them fighting for a playoff contention. And thanks to Tyreek Hill for continuing to give me some big points. And it has me leading my CBS Fantasy League, which about $1,700 was on the line. So I got one more week, and I should be able to hold on to that. And then a bad loss for the Chargers. And Keenan Allen, on the other hand, didn't get me any points. Though him and Keenan Allen and Michael Evans and Stephon Diggs, man, they're just big teasers to me, and they have been all for the season. It's kind of juggling match. Who do I play? Who do I not play? What was your good win, bad loss outside of Seattle Seahawks?
Outside of the Hawks, I would say bad loss for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, I certainly thought that they had an opportunity to kind of jump back in there and, you know, kind of poke their nose in and, you know, kind of see what was going on. And they just didn't have, you know, they didn't have what it took. Yeah, that was a rough one for them.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying all season how disappointing their play has been. So I'm not sure, you know, I didn't expect anything, kind of the way they lost and the things that went on in the game with the referee pulling out the index card to kind of measure the football.
Yeah,
something that folding we had never
it over
seen.
Twice. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, and then the quarterback, I mean, what the heck was he thinking at the goal line, sticking the ball out? I mean, that was obvious that it was a touchback as soon as it immediately happened. How many times have we seen that happen this season, though? And that must be four or five different times we've seen that. But the quarterback, you got to be smarter than that. Dive out of bounds, get the ball on a one, you stop the clock, you can run it in. That was pure stupidity on the part of David Carr, and just showing that that was a microcosm of their season. Getting so close and just do something completely dumb that really impacted their game and kind of lost the season for them. So I didn't expect much for the Raiders at this point of the season, because I did have them going to the playoffs and actually winning that division at the beginning of the season. So New England Patriots back on top. Well, I see you agree with me this week that the New England Patriots are number one in the supremacy rankings. I have Philadelphia at number two just because of the record and what we see from Nick Foles. I have Minnesota and Pittsburgh, follow them up, and I have Jacksonville in the fifth spot. I see you have Minnesota, and you give the Rams a lot of credit, I noticed, for traveling up north and beating up on the Seahawks. Well, they didn't move. You moved them up one spot, it looks like. You moved them up one spot. Somehow the Minnesota Vikings moved down when they get a W, and you moved the Rams up. I'm not sure how that goes, but I'll let you tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for giving me the mic on that one. First off, it looked like you were about 28 seconds from eating your words from how the supremacy rankings went down last week. I don't know if you recall, it was quite a controversy, quite an uproar with regards to how you have the rankings going. And, fortunately for you, the football gods did not rain down with great vengeance and furious anger the way they should have. However, as far as the Philadelphia picks, they plugged in their backup quarterback, and he threw for four touchdowns, which is why they're in the number three spot as opposed to the number four spot, which, again, I give kudos to the Los Angeles Rams for coming up to the 206. In the rain, in the clink, in December, and embarrassing the Seattle Seahawks like no one ever has in the Pete Carroll era. Now, of course, your list having the Pittsburgh Steelers at number four And I'm sorry, they're sort of like number two. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And I think that perhaps you're not understanding that this is a week-by-week kind of a thing. And it's not necessarily your personal prognostication for what's going to happen for the rest of the season. It is merely what is happening in week 16. Again, you know, Pittsburgh at number four is as ridiculous as, you know, Pittsburgh at number two last week. But, I mean, you know, it's your list.
Well,
you know, stand up to it, you know, own it, you know, do what you want to say about it.
When you lose at home in the fashion that they lost, I mean, Big Ben throwing a pick, the injury due to Antonio Brown, when you lose in that fashion, I don't know how you end up being the number two team. There's teams, Minnesota's been performing week after week. I mean, they're consistent. They consistently prove week after week that they're deserving a spot, even having beat a contender for the NFC.
So Minnesota beats Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh week 16. That's what you're saying.
Minnesota beats Pittsburgh.
That was an awfully long pause. Wow, because that's not what the rankings indicate. You should be absolutely, because they're the number two team, right?
They're the number two team. Yes, they're confident.
Okay, so Minnesota at home beats Pittsburgh, then, right?
Yes, Minnesota at home beats Pittsburgh. Yes.
Okay. A little bit less of a pause. It wasn't a 7-second pause. It was the first time. It was only like a 4-second pause. So you get like 3 seconds off your pause. Because you don't even believe it. Yet your rankings indicate that. I would never have thought that this ancillary thing would cause this kind of controversy. That's crazy.
Pittsburgh may have trouble with Jacksonville. That's where we're going with that one. If Antonio Brown isn't able to perform, Pittsburgh may have trouble with Jacksonville, and that's why Jacksonville is number five. I moved the Rams up slightly ahead of they're right behind them. You see, they moved up one spot for their win, but Jacksonville has just been on a roll. They have a running game, although their running back didn't play. They have great defense. Their quarterback is being consistent. I'm rewarding team for their consistency throughout the season, and that's what gets these guys here. If you lose a game, win a game, lose a game, you don't.
Wow. You started the show off with, wow, what a crazy play. That really should have been a touchdown because he crossed the plane. So all of a sudden, this team ain't doo-doo. Okay.
No.
You know
Mike
Tomlin's listening. No. You know Mike Tomlin's listening, so it's cool. I mean, you know, we're on flat at Heinz Field.
Next week, I'll pull out the thesaurus for you so you can understand what inconsistency means. Inconsistent. They should have won a game.
Inconsistent at 11-3. Yeah, I get you. A touchdown called back in reverse, and then okay.
You've admitted already they played down to the competition. What's the debate? You admitted that. Those are your words.
They played down to their competition, but they rise to the occasion when they're playing the New England Patriots. Now, maybe they had some plays.
Well,
it shouldn't have been that close. Maybe they didn't execute down the stretch the way they should have. But at the same time, my goodness. I mean, we're like four camera angles away from this being a completely, totally different conversation. But you have the Minnesota Vikings and the New England, and the Philadelphia Eagles in front of them. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. What's the Eagles record?
Oh, at it, man. Mike Tomlin is listening. He's just not saying anything. But everything that you're saying,
Mike Tomlin needs to coach his team up. Mike Tomlin needs to coach his team up as well as talk to the people on the competition committee.
You're just digging yourself a deeper hole, man. Conference only 10 feet, and you're down to 25 feet right now. You see?
I got the Rams. So I got a question for you there, fella. I have the Rams over Carolina. Then I have Atlanta as they just beat New Orleans. That was that. I would have chosen. I have more confidence in New Orleans, but the Rams just beat them. We'll see. We'll see this week how things play out. And then I have
Whoa. Rewind.
The Falcons beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They go to New Orleans, and they're not going to win that game. So rewind on.
No, they beat them a couple weeks ago, though.
They beat them at home. They beat them at home. They beat them at home, and Drew Brees threw an interception from the 4-yard line. Think it's going to happen again? Who you got this week?
The last
who
time
you got this
played,
week? Atlanta or the New Orleans Saints? Who you got this weekend?
I got New Orleans.
Okay. Everything you just said. Everything you just said was you can just throw that out the window because it doesn't mean anything.
No, because this is week 16 supremacy rankings. This isn't week 17. This isn't what the results of what's going to happen next week. This is week 16, sir. And again,
your supremacy rankings are so flawed. It's not even funny. And we're so late into the season that it makes it even crazier that it's so flawed.
It's so flawed, but you have the same teams in there except the Cowboys. You have the same teams in there except the Cowboys.
I have the same team. But the ranking and the rationalization for why they're ranked where they are is so much more sound than what you're talking about. Like I said, Mike Tomlin's listening, and you have to answer, homie.
Well, don't break your arm. Don't break your arm, Young Sam. And again, Mike Tomlin, he should be listening because I'm giving him some advice. Coach your team up so you got to know what to do.
You keep going.
Impress the situation. When you're impressed the situation, you know what your team is doing. And so your quarterback doesn't come and throw different people under the bus every time there's a mess up or a gaff.
Hope you have that beat for kiddo fist to punch yourself out of that grave that you just dug yourself. You know, like Kill Bill 2, you know, just boom, you know, that primate, you know, training. To kind of get yourself out of this. If the Steelers come back, man, I'm not going to hear the end of it. Just saying.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're my five. They're just not my second team.
I know. I got you.
And then you have the Cowboys. You have the Cowboys who barely beat the Raiders, and who the disappointing Raiders who we talked about who barely beat them. You have them at number 10 in the league. How they sneak into your top 10? Is it because Zeke is back? Is it? I'm interested to know how they sneak into your top 10.
It is exactly that, Sam. They've managed to tread water and stay in the playoff picture without him, and now you're going to get an Ezekiel that's been getting massages and doing yoga poses and losing 20 pounds and just really hearing on SportsCenter every day about, you know, the trials and tribulations of the Dallas Cowboys without him. He's had nothing to do but train and watch film. And, he's ready to explode out of the can. I'm extremely concerned for my Hawks, especially given how Earl Thomas posed the question. Maybe Bobby Wagner isn't quite himself. He needs to be playing professional football. So, that and a revigorated, re-energized Ezekiel Elliott is why they're in the top 10. And, yes, I am concerned that the Hawks will not be able to
That's fair reasoning. Ezekiel Elliott is going to make a difference. I think the Hawks being at home. When's the last time they lost two games at home in December?
They're at home. The game is in Jerry's world.
It is Jerry world. You're right. Good call there. I don't have. I have the Cowboys winning. Because of the issues that we talked about the Seattle Seahawks having, but I don't have them in my number 10, in my top 10 rankings. I have KC.
I saw that. You had the Kansas City Chiefs, which you've been dissing the entire time, calling for Mahomes. All of a sudden, they crack into your top 10. Interesting. I'm just saying.
I think most teams have the exact same record,
but you give more credence to a team that you've been browbeaten for the last 5 weeks. That's just crazy. You know, again, and your listeners are listening. I didn't expect it to have this much controversy because I thought that the list would kind of, you know, be a little bit more conforming as far as, you know, how the both of us were thinking with regards to that.
If you
but,
let
you know,
me
you're catching your
so
you know,
I have to go
back to it. Have the floor.
I have to go back to it and explain to you. It is a week-to-week list. The Kansas City Chiefs just beat one of the hottest teams in the league, whether – I'm a San Diego Charger fan or a Los Angeles Charger fan or not, they were playing at a high level the last 6 weeks. So when Kansas City is able to beat them and beat them fairly soundly, I might add.
At home, correct? They beat them at home?
Well, they beat them. Hunt was able to get back on track, rushing over 100 yards. Tyreek Evans was able to make a
– And where
did
the Cowboys
win
their game at?
They played the Raiders, but again, we talked about how disappointing the Raiders have been.
Right.
So I'm not, I can't give them a lot of credit for beating the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders are the Raiders. So good win. They eat that win out. I think Kansas City's win is a little bit more decisive, if I remember correctly. So that's why I had Kansas City sneaking into my supremacy rankings. Going into this week's games coming up, I mean, we have all the games. We agree on all the games that's coming up, actually, except Jacksonville Jaguars. I have Jacksonville over San Francisco. Jacksonville coming across the country playing San Francisco means they're going to get extra rest. They're going to be healthy. Believe me, they have seen the tape and they've heard about Jimmy G and what he's done and seen what he's done to the other teams. They'll be ready for him. And I think they're getting Leonard Fournette back this week, and the Jacksonville Jaguars will be ready. And they're feeling good about themselves. I don't think they're in a position to overlook anybody, and I expect them to perform well and beat the San Francisco Niners. But somehow you have
okay. So quick question. Thanks for the segue. Quick question about Jimmy G. You know, I didn't really give him a whole lot of credence. I thought he was the guy that was holding Tom Brady's clipboard and that all of this, attention was unwarranted. I thought he was basically Matt Flynn. You know, every once in a while he comes in and he looks great in that offense, and that has not been the case. I'm seeing a little bit more of a Steve Young, you know, when he got a chance after, you know, they traded Joe Montana. I'm seeing a little bit more of an Aaron Rodgers after they traded in front of the Jets. What is it that you're seeing from Jimmy G? Is he a little bit better than you thought? I mean, they have nobody on offense. Imagine when they actually get a few offensive players. I mean, he seems comfortable, like he just knows what to do all the time.
Well, he's ready
to
talk to
the Jacksonville game for a surprise. Because what they're saying on film, not enough. Not enough film.
How many
times have we talked about not enough film, man? That's one of the reasons he's having so much success, and you know that. They don't know. They don't know what kind of throws he can make. They don't know how often he can make them because they haven't seen it enough. By the time you have like 12, 13 weeks, oh, man, you just do this, you just do that, and he can't do it. But Jimmy, they don't have enough.
They have a month of solid film, and they are young. Again, I think they're focused.
They have one minute 45 seconds drive from one game and two other games. How is that enough film? I know what Jimmy G can do.
I think this is his fourth. This is their fourth game.
Right.
He's won three games.
His first game was the Seahawks game. Why do you keep like throwing that out like it's just like nothing? He's only played two. He only had two starts.
Again, I think they have enough film. And again, you're downgrading
the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, man.
You got Jacksonville number
just,
six.
Just disregarding my comment, man. You know that's not enough film. Two games?
I think it is. Those Jaguars. And you already mentioned they don't have much on offense. So there's not much for him to work with. So there's not much
they
for Jacksonville to be scared about.
Are they at home?
Yes. That's my point.
Okay.
Yes, they're at home. They stop the run, they get after the quarterback, and they stop that's what Jacksonville's
My comparisons were Steve Young and Aaron Rodgers. when they got their chance to jump in and start. I asked you the question.
We'll
you didn't really answer it. Is it like that or no?
I think that was high praise. I think that's really high praise. Steve Young
so it's more
Young
like Matt Flynn. So it's more like the Matt Flynn.
No, I didn't say that. I give Jimmy some credit. He's won some consecutive games. So I'm not going to say he's thinking at all. But what I'm saying, you've alluded to it already. There's not much talent there for him to work with. So Jacksonville is prepared. Their defense is set up to get after the quarterback, stop the run, and they have two lockdown cornerbacks. So that doesn't speak well for what San Francisco is trying to do. They don't have any game breakers. Sure, Carlos Hyde can break out every now and then, but they don't have any game breakers enough for them to fear these guys. These guys are on a mission. From what I see, Jacksonville is on a mission, and I expect Jacksonville to handle them, and they will beat that spread. So that'll get me one step closer to eclipsing you in the points.
Ooh, okay, it looks like this is the game where it all goes down. I was expecting a different one, but okay. I didn't like that much, but the way he stepped in, because he wasn't even supposed to play this year until C.J. Beathard got hurt, because he was like, okay, just keep learning. So, okay, whatever, man. He stepped in.
I didn't go over it, but I do have that as one of my games I'm looking to watch this week. What I'm looking to learn in the games to watch this week was Jacksonville and Jaguars, along with the Vikings and the Packers, the Saints and the Falcons, and Seattle traveling to Dallas.
Yeah, you better hope the 49ers not be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wow. I'm gonna need 10 minutes, 47 seconds, man, to really elaborate on that. If that happens, and you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. I'm going to take it way over the top, man. You better hope the 49ers do not beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, my God. I'm already writing material.
Don't waste too much ink over there, because I don't know that's going to happen. But nonetheless, man, enjoy your week. Enjoy your Christmas, big guy, and we'll talk to you next week, next Wednesday. Are you traveling?
I will be here in the town, here in the 206, so just celebrating with family and friends. So.
All right, man, well, enjoy your Christmas. We'll talk next week, big guy.
Right on, bro. Talk soon.
Later.